Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. It's presented by Andrew Mark. We're here still at Albany for training camp. Practice continues, and it was a hot day today. Two in a row for the Giants as they continue to get ready for their preseason opener next Friday. And we have a very special guest on today's episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live. That is former Giants tight end Howard Cross. What happened to you?
Hey, look, all I'm going to say is this. I want my wife to know I'm multitasking. I got a roster. I got Twitter. I'm talking to John. I'm on camera. I can do it all.
You look like a wide receiver.
No. If there was wide receivers this big, they would outlaw the league.
And it'd also be a lot slower league, too. Wide receivers
I'm fast,
like that.
Man. Don't fool yourself. I can outrun you.
All right, everybody. This is an interactive show. We take your calls at 518-437-3774, and we take your tweets to hashtag GiantsChat. Of course, Howard's on Twitter as well. It's HowardCross87. That's his handle. Now, don't expect a lot. You had to ask me what his handle was before the show started.
Well,
so he's not exactly on top of this stuff.
I'm not technical yet, but it's all right. It's not an Xbox.
It's not technical. No, your own handle is not a technical question.
It's kind of like a password or something, right? No?
All right,
okay,
well,
forget it.
He was at practice today for the first time, Howard. The defense had the best of it, and Keith Rivers really played well. He had a great pick on a tip pass at the line of scrimmage.
You know what? That's like the old-fashioned tip drill. He did a great job catching the ball and then running it back as well. His guys all rallied for him, blocked. Great, great play by Keith. Does a great job also running to the ball and rallying, getting up there, getting in the way of the back, making sure that the back has more less than, you know, one way to make a move. He goes right to him, stops him. Reminds me a little bit, you know, I don't want to give him too much credit, but does remind me a little bit of Jesse Armstead, the way he has that nose to the ball and is able to get right to the play right off the bat.
Now, obviously, Keith Rivers was a top 10 pick, but where does he fit in on this team? Where you already have a weak side linebacker, Michael Boley, who plays a lot. Jaquan Williams is a young guy that plays a similar position. Chase Blackburn, Mark Herzlick in the middle. Where is Keith Rivers going to fit in?
You know what? It's limited chances. You know, the practices are shorter. There are fewer practices because of the collective bargaining agreement. So he has to really study, get in the books, and learn what to do. If he can do that, he can actually get on the field, believe it or not. There are a lot of good players, a lot of great players. But the thing that's going to, you know, set a guy apart right now is knowing what to do and being able to react and do it on the field.
All right, let's go to our calls at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Danny G from Queens.
Danny, what's up, pal? What's on your mind?
Guys, I love you. John Schmelk, I love you. You know, you always do well with what you do.
My
question is for Mr. Howard Cross, who I always love. I want to know about the progress of Mr. Martellus Bennett.
Just checking him out right now. He's a really big guy. He gets around very well on the blocks. He does a great job with his feet and his hands. He's a strong, strong guy. I mean, you know, they were raving about what kind of blocker he was. He's that and then some. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to do, how he's going to react in the passing games. He's going to be able to get off the ball, be able to get up the field. What happens is when you're a really good blocker, guys want to get back at you. When you come off the ball, they don't know if you're going to block or not, so they hit you. And if you're a big guy, you're already struggling to get up the field. So it's going to be interesting to see how he works it out in the passing game.
All right, let's go back to our busy phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name's John Milos. I'm Lakeland, Florida.
What's up, John? What's on your mind today?
The change of the preseason to one-a-days, is the coach going to change his preseason games to put in more veterans or see more rookies and stuff like that? Is he going to change the preseason games to see his people?
Good question, Howard.
Unfortunately, you know, the thing is, you got to think about this. This is all coaches. It's not just Coach Coughlin. All the coaches in the league, they kind of griped and complained about it a little bit last year, but then they kind of, you know, the commissioner basically said, you know, keep it down or else. Every coach is going to have to do the same thing. He's going to have to evaluate the same amount of guys in the 15 practices of live practices and then the preseason games. You can't put guys in longer. Their bodies are just not ready for it. They don't even condition right now after practice. They've changed that rule, too, so they're conditioning on their own. So that whole competitive where everybody's out there running against each other, that's all gone. I don't know how they're going to do it. It's going to be very interesting to see. Like, now that we have a full off season, a full OTA season, and a full chance to see what a training camp actually happens, it's going to be interesting to see how they evaluate players. Not so much the games themselves and the practices, but how they're able to evaluate and figure out who they can play and who can't play.
And I want to give you a chance to play the role of grumpy old man and compare this training camp to the ones you used to have. But for now, and you're very good at that, we're going to go back to the calls at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. Excuse me. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Peter Rubin, calling from Havre de Grace, Maryland.
Peter, what's on your mind today, man?
I would like to know, when is Hakeem Nicks due back, and do you think that Dominique Hickson will make the cut for the third receiver slot?
Well, first of all, Nicks is on track to be healthy by middle to end of August, Howard. What did you think of Hickson on the field today?
Dominique Hickson did a great job getting off the ball, running his routes. Again, the kid is explosive, catching the ball. You know, his big play thing historically has been the deep ball. He's got to find a way to incorporate himself in more of the crossing pattern, the comeback patterns, the patterns that are right in front of the quarterback to get himself open. It's great to be fast. It's great to be able to fly down the field, but you don't always have time to get that guy the ball. So he's got to figure out a way to make himself more as a viable receiver in the short to intermediate passes. And when he catches the ball there, that's when he can show some of that great speed. That's what's going to get him on the field. That's what's going to get him more opportunities, is becoming a better receiver in the short to intermediate passes.
And the coaching staff is thrilled with how he's looked coming back from that injury. Two straight years with ACLs. He looks great. Had a great catch at practice yesterday going up and beating Prince Mukamura to the ball. So they're very happy about that. And as for Hakeem Nicks, just very quickly, he's on pace for middle end of August. But remember, they're not going to rush him back. He knows the playbook. Doesn't need a ton of work in the preseason. They just want him healthy for game one against Dallas.
Well, that's true, too. And you also got to remember, they're not really practicing all that hard. So he can come back into practice and not really be running or anything. He'll be in practice and they'll be studying like everyone else.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Looks like we lost our caller. Howard, I do want to talk a little bit about practice and how it's different now. I want to put Bill Parcells from 1990 in a time machine. He's going to show up at Albany in 2012 on July 25th and watch practice over the course of 15 days. How would your coach Parcells react to what's going on up here in 2012?
Well, first off, he wouldn't be able to watch practice. He wouldn't be able to be a part of practice. Most of the coaches from that era, they were grinded out guys, a lot of contacts. They thought about, we're going to beat you down and physically and mentally and emotionally take a lot from you, so you're going to do exactly what I want you to do. They tried to, quote unquote, mold you. And I think it wasn't really molding as much as it was sculpting. They'd take a big giant piece of rock and beat it down to where and get it to where it is.
Can't
now,
do that anymore.
Now it's more, now they're molding guys, because now it's the clay. You got to be gentle with it and get it together and just put it in place. And then after you get it in place, you can't mess with it. Because if you mess with it until it gets ready, it'll be deformed. So you got to mold it. It's a very, very easy, very soft process.
And I'm not sure some of the guys today mentally could handle some of the games Bill Parcells could have played with Bill back in the day.
It's a lot different because, the society as a whole has changed. It's a lot more patting on the back. Everybody gets a trophy. Everything's okay. Oh, little Billy, little Jimmy, Annie, and Kim, everybody's playing. It's all great. When before, hey, look, he's the best. You're not. Sorry, you lose. That's over with.
Howard Cross, sociologist, everybody. Let's go back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is John from Ramsey.
Before
I ask my question, could I give Mr. Cross a compliment?
Do you have to? Well, go ahead, please.
Thank you.
I just want to say, back in the day, I really enjoyed watching him knock other players on their butt, because you'd have these beautifully sculpted bodies, and then he would come running across the field not looking so great, and just make them
look
horrible
as far as
their skills are concerned.
When I meet you again, John, I'm going to beat you down. But no, I'm just okay. No, thank you, John. I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, what was it like?
Where's
looking sloppy, running across the field, knocking somebody out of their butt.
Sloppy.
Yeah, looking sloppy, apparently.
That's awesome. I don't know. I think I was very healthy, but, maybe John's a fitness trainer, and I didn't give him any play or anything.
You should see Howard Cross today. I think he'll be a little bit more impressed. Back to the phones at 518-437-3774. Let's go to our next caller. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, this is Joan. I'm calling from Lake George. I'm vacationing up here. And my question is about Coughlin's approach. We all know the Giants have a great track record for the second half of the season, but what do you think Coughlin's going to do to make the first half of the season a bit more consistent as far as their win-loss ratio?
I think that everybody kind of, Coach Coughlin said something when he first showed up that kind of came back to bite him in the butt. He talked about injuries and how that was like a sickness and that you could actually coach your way out of injuries. The reality of it is, it's an unpredictable moment in football, and guys get injured. And when they do get injured, it does hurt your team. You do have starters. You have guys that you depend on, guys that are playmakers and guys you pay money to be those playmakers. When they get injured, you want those other guys to step up, but they're not the starters. They're the guys who are trying to become starters. There's going to be a drop-off in performance. Every year, same things happen. He's lost a lot of players. Last year and in 2007, at the time when the playoffs actually started and they've just made it in, everybody on the team was healthy. When you have a lot of guys healthy, you make a lot of plays. It's not an excuse. It's just reality. You know, when everybody sees like a team like the Green Bay Packers do it, they expect everybody to do it. It doesn't always happen that way.
And remember, too, traditionally the Giants have started fast under Coach Coughlin. Last year was a bit of an anomaly. In the years past, they've had trouble at the end of November and December, mostly just because of the natural schedule. Mm-hmm. The opponents have gotten a lot harder. So, really, last year wasn't a typical thing, but it is a focus in training camp this year for the Giants to start fast and get off to the season on a good start. 518-437-3774, also on Twitter at #GiantsChat. But for now, let's stay on our busy phones. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
From Brooklyn.
And what's your name, sir?
Bill.
Bill, what's up, pal?
Yeah, it would be really wonderful for the Giants to go to the first in rushing to from 32nd. But how much yardage do they need per game to get the offense into the category of explosive that everyone's talking about?
What should be the goal, Howard? That's a good question. For rushing yards per game, what should be the goal for this Giants team? And it's tough, because you do have a great quarterback like Eli Manning.
Well, you know, the ground and pound theory is great. Trying to keep the ball out of the other quarterback's hands is great. All that is great in theory, but what you really need is you need a great explosive offense that scores a lot of points. You got to be able to score points within seconds in a game, unfortunately. If you have a great running game and it's consistent, it's awesome. But what happens is it's kind of like the Barry Sanders theory. If you get 8, 10, 15, a 60-yard run, you're doing good. But when you get that second and 12 or second and 10, all of a sudden you're put into a long yardage situation. And then your passing game, people know you're going to throw the ball.
You're dodging my question, Howard. How many rushing yards?
I'm telling you, that's the true answer. I mean, what people are going to say, the actual yardage is going to be 85. Everybody's going to say if you do 85 yards a game, that's considered, you know, better than average in the NFL. If a team averages 100 yards a game, you know, that's a little bit that's really better than average. You average 110 to 120 yards a game, you're a great rushing team.
And of course, one of the reasons last year too, they didn't rush the ball really well. They were down a lot. The Giants had a lot of comeback victories. When you go down early in the game, down 7, down 14, the defense struggled the first 14 games of the year. It's tough to run the ball. You got to throw it.
Well, you know, that's part of it. I think the biggest part of what happened to the Giants early in the season is that all their offensive linemen was hurt. They never had a starting five in offensive linemen. They were moving guys around. It's okay if one guy goes out, but they were moving. They were having to move three guys and four guys at a time sometimes. Sometimes you only have one starter on the field.
Speaking of which, by the way, there was an injury at practice today with the offensive line. I should bring it up. William Beatty did not work today with the offensive line. He had a bit of a back issue. It's something that's really plagued him since the spring, and it cropped up again. The question was asked to Coach Coughlin, was it precautionary? And he answered no. So you wonder if this could be an ongoing issue with William Beatty, a guy who has missed a lot of games in the past. Howard, how important is it for them to get him healthy and on the field early in the season so they can get that continuity?
Well, they're going to try to get some continuity. They want him to be the player, but unfortunately for him, so far in his career, he hasn't really been on the field for longer than 3 or 4 games at a time. And until he gets to that point in his career, they're used to making the adjustment. And right now, you know, you got David Deal, a guy who's a great guard. He can step out and be serviceable at left tackle for as long as possible. You got some other young players that are coming in that could contribute. And if Will Beatty misses, like I said, you only have 15 practices. If you miss 2 or 3 of these practices, all of a sudden one of those guys can Wally Pip you and you'll be out of the game.
All right, let's go back to our calls at 518-437-3774. By the way, Jaquan Williams also missed practice today with a hip, not considered serious. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Timothy Fifth, Jack, New Jersey.
Tim, what's up, pal? What's on your mind, buddy?
And the Giants signed Joseph Addai. He got released by the Patriots last week. He won Super Bowl 21 with the coach.
Joseph Addai? I think they're pretty happy with the running backs that they have right now, Howard.
You know what? They got some pretty good running backs. My Bradshaw's doing a good job. The young rookie who just came in.
David Wilson.
Mr. Wilson. I was going to say Mr. Wilson, but David would be great. Mr. Wilson looks incredible. The guy got great.
He was a neighbor in Dennis DeMettis. Was he Mr. Wilson? I think he was.
He's fast. He's explosive. It's like a different, like, you know, where Bradshaw was a big change of pace back, Wilson's now that guy. Also, you still, you know, Darrell Scott, another explosive back. You got Brown. another back, bigger back who can pound, ground and pound it. And you also have Mr. Ware, great blocker, very, you know, a guy who's kind of consistent, and he knows what he's going to do and understands the role.
A little bigger, too, I think.
He's a little bit bigger. He's lifting some weights or lifting something.
Always a good thing. 518-437-3774. Also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. And let's go to Twitter here. This question comes in from the Mike Frang. He wants to know, Howard, do you have any plans to lend your skills to Mike Pope and help coach that young crop of tight ends the Giants have here in 2012?
Coach Pope knows that any time if he ever needed me, he could call me, and I would definitely show up and talk about the hand position and what it's like to be a taller guy, because I think a lot of times what gets missed in the tight end position, and he's trying to tell him, is you have to use your height. You know, when you drop down to get to your leverage spot's a lot higher than the guy you're playing against. So when you get him up to your height, you're going to dominate him almost every time. And guys need to learn how to do that. And I saw him doing it again today, going down, lifting guys up, and trying to get them up, you know, so you can see out of eye with them when you're blocking them.
Now, you spoke about Martellus Bennett already, and one guy that often gets overlooked is Bear Pasco. He's been here a while. He's been reliable as a backup fullback. He played tight end in the Super Bowl after Jake Ballard went down. When you say Bear Pasco on the field, how do you break his game down, and how do you evaluate him?
Barrett does a lot of things great for the Giants. You know, he does play the H-back. He plays which is considered the fullback in this offense. He does a great job blocking on the edge as the point of attack guy. He does a great job running his routes. You know, he's a player that you can't say a lot about from the aspect that he's not a burner. He's not going to blow by you down the field. But he does everything just right, and he's consistent. That's what makes him a great player. It's not always about, you know, stats and metrics and all the stuff you measure up. It's the consistency. The guy's always on the field. You can depend on him. He's going to make the block. He's consistent. He's going to be there. When a person's going to be there, you look for that guy on your team.
Tell you what, the callers today have been dependable today, and they are at 518-437-3774. Back to the phones. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller, are you there? Go ahead.
From California.
What's going on, man? All the way on the West Coast. We like it.
Yes. I have two things. One, I thought of one catch with Douglas. That was the one-handed catch. Was just wow. How's he doing? Is he likely to make the team?
I couldn't hear him.
David Douglas, he wants to know about. He had a great one-handed catch in practice yesterday, and I know you were watching him during practice today.
You know, David Douglas does a great job of going up and getting the ball. I was making remarks, and maybe if some of the players do see this, especially the receivers, I was telling John, like, if the ball's thrown in the air, you have to go for it. You cannot let it just bounce up or go over your head or short arm it. You have to do everything in your power to catch the ball, because they are not going to hit you. Not only are they not going to hit you in practice, they can't hit you in a game if you're a defenseless receiver. And I think that's really changed the league a lot right now. And a guy who's coming out of college where it took us 3 or 4 years to become route runners, it took us 3 or 4 years to learn how to get open. Now if you can run routes and catch the ball, do it right away, because you're protected. And I think that he's going to do a good job. He understands, hey, look, they're not going to hit me. I just got to go get the ball.
You say you saw a couple of Izod sweaters being worn out there
in
the practice field?
I saw
today?
A couple guys right there bringing back the old T-Rex. You know, I thought he was extinct, but he's coming back.
All right, 518-437-3774. Let's go to another caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is from L.A.
Hey, go ahead. Another L.A. guy. We like it. Go ahead.
Actually, I just called earlier and I lost the call, I think. My thing is, why are the Giants so disrespected this coming season? Nobody talks about them. They're third to win the Tennessee East.
Oh, that's it's great. Why are they talking about the Giants? Here's the thing.
Aren't they, though? I mean, they're defending Super Bowl champions. They get respect.
What you got to think about it, it has nothing to do with respect. It has nothing to do with football, actually. It has to do with sizzle. And everybody looks for the sizzle, you know, when you're doing – our job is the toughest job in the world, because we got to find something to write about, something to talk about, something to put on TV every day. Coming to the team like the Giants, where they're consistent, they're just going to come out and play, there's not going to be any arguments, any growling, any complaining, does nothing for you. There's no Hard Knocks episode here. You need a team –
it would
where,
be a boring one if yeah, it was,
oh my
let me
goodness,
tell you.
It will get turned off. You need something going on. You need Tebow, who may not be able to throw a pass, but he's like considered, the best backup quarterback right now. He's what's going to happen. He's challenging Sanchez. You need what's going on down in Miami. You need a team that's owned by rock stars and movie stars to, you know, get some sizzle. You need things going on, and that's what people look for. You need Robert Griffin III, a kid who's extremely talented, hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL yet, but he's on almost every commercial. You need sizzle. And right now, Giants don't have sizzle. They have Super Bowl rings.
And Coach Coughlin loves the fact they don't have sizzle and they're not getting all that attention with that controversy. Back to the phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, caller. What's up?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Jim from Connecticut.
Jim.
I just want to talk just to history for a second here with Howard. As you look at the Bill Parcells record and the Tom Coughlin record, you know, who do you think eventually, whose legacy will be greater? And then if you figure Belichick, who obviously interacted with both of these guys a lot, how do you figure he fits in too?
When you think about legacy, and, you know, it's kind of like the old Hall of Fame question, but we'll leave it off Hall of Fame. We will just call it legacy. What's gonna wind up is that Bill Parcells won two Super Bowls. He did it in 5 to 8 years. He took another team to a Super Bowl, so he was in the Super Bowl three times and with two different teams. And he always had the third team into the playoffs. And I think he even had the Cowboys in the playoffs.
He did,
time.
Yes, he did.
So he took four teams to the playoffs. So he's got that legacy. Then he has the coaching tree legacy. He has the, you know, the Coach Coughlins, he has the Belichicks, he has the Romeo Cornell, and it's no telling who else, maybe
Charlie Weiss,
Maurice Carthorne will probably get a shot soon here one day. So he has the coaching tree.
Even Sean Payton to a certain extent was a Bill Parcells guy.
Sean Payton is a Bill Parcells guy. And not only do you have these guys are winning Super Bowls, so how does that relate to, you know, Belichick and Coach Coughlin? Belichick and Coach Coughlin will probably win a couple more Super Bowls each. That's going to be the difference. They're going to be the guys who are going to be out there winning. As long as their quarterbacks are healthy and able to throw the ball, they got a great, great chance to, you know, to go down with Super Bowl victories. As far as lineage and what they're going to have guys leaving them going to other places, right now, don't know. I don't know who's going to come out of Belichick's camp is going to be the next great coach or anybody who may be the great head
Josh
coach.
Josh McDaniels is one of those guys.
Well, Josh McDaniels is me.
He's
back under his wings.
There's still a story to be written.
Yeah, but
there's
still
a story
to be written. That's what's going to happen. We've got to find out who from there directly descended from those guys is going to be the next guy who's going to be a good coach.
I will say with great confidence, I think all three of those guys will be in Canton at the Pro Football Hall
absolutely.
Of Fame. No
they're
doubt
all,
about
they're
it.
All Hall of Fame coaches. Just going to see, like when he says legacy, who's going to have the greatest legacy? Who's the guy who kind of left more behind?
I don't think we know yet. We'll have to find out. 518-437-3774. Back to our phones. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Cole, are you there? All right, looks like we lost our caller. Guys, you listen to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, presented by Andrew Mark. I'm John Schmelk, joined by Howard Cross here at training camp in Albany. You guys have done a great job, but let's take a listen to a Giants player. Dominic Hixon is a player that's been with the Giants for a number of years. He's coming off of two torn ACLs, but he's looked great in camp this year and has shown no signs of that knee injury. Our own Anita Marks had a chance to talk to him earlier in the day.
You're back, and what a camp. You are an inspiration for a lot of people.
I appreciate it. It's just a blessing to be here. I thank God, you know, every day for waking up and be able to play, you know, in the NFL and definitely play for the Giants.
So talk about what you were able to do this offseason to prepare for this year.
A lot of work. Ever since surgery last year at the end of September, I've been working physical therapy. I was down in Gulf Breeze with the guys down there at the Andrews Institute working, you know, 3-4 days a week. And doing stuff at home. I mean, it's been a long road, but been a lot of fun.
Now, in your wide receiving core, unfortunately, Hakeem Nicks has a foot injury. He's not been able to practice. Silver lining is that some of the other wide receivers have been getting a lot more reps maybe than anticipated. So talk about your time on the field and your chemistry that you've developed with Eli so far since you've been up here.
Right. We're trying to hold it down while Hakeem, you know, does his rehab and gets back. And a lot of guys have been stepping up. You know, a lot of young guys, you know, kind of have to grow up a little quicker. But they've been doing a great job.
And talk about your leadership. I mean, you're the leader here. You're the vet, and there are a lot of young guys, and you guys are competing for some spots this year.
Right. You know, we have the healthy competition, and we don't, you know, put each other down or anything like that. It's all positive. And like I said, we're going to go out there, you know, do our best every day, and they'll keep hard at work.
And you have a new wide receiving coach, Kevin Gilbride's son. Right. Gilbride Jr. was promoted. What's it been like working with him?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, he's, you know, just like his old man, and it's been fun, and, you know, he has a lot of, you know, insight to the game, and so it's been great picking his brain, you know, what he knows, and applying it to the field.
Also, talk about special teams. I mean, you've been getting a lot of reps, kick and punt return. I think a lot of Giants fans, they haven't seen one taken back to the house in quite a while. They're excited for you and possibly Jernigan. We've seen David Wilson back there. Talk about that unit and what you've seen so far here at camp.
A lot of hard work. It's going to take some time, and, you know, these past 2 years have been rough, but just let the Giants fans know we've been working hard at it, and, you know, this year looks to be the year.
Also, just recently, you guys went to full pads. Talk, how excited are you? I mean, when you get there, a lot of more physicality on the line. And, of course, you've got Jacksonville right around the corner.
Absolutely. That means you're closer to that first preseason game. And, you know, with the heat, how it is here, it's going to be even hotter in Jacksonville. So we got to make sure that we're well prepared. And, you know, we're going to put our best foot forward against Jacksonville.
And that's Dominic Hixon, one of the guys competing for that number three Giants wide receiver position behind Victor Cruz and Akeem Nix. And before we get back to our calls, we will in just a second. We have a related Twitter question. I want to get to that first. This one comes in from KenRC3. How does Barden fit into that rotation with Jernigan and Randall all competing for that number three spot?
Man, you know, Barden's got to figure out a way how to make himself fit in. What you got to do is you got to go in and take yourself a spot. When you're out competing for a job in professional football, it's a lot like the world, but not like the world. In the world, you kind of have to like live by a certain set of rules. In football, you can exert yourself into the situation and make something happen. You only have 15 days. In those 15 days, there can't be no doubt that you're the guy. You got to be the guy on every play. You got to go get every ball. You got to make every block. You only have 15 days of real full contact practice to get, you know, to let people know who you are. And if he doesn't do that, that's his fault.
We've already had a sociology professor here. Now we have a psychology professor as well. Let's go back to our phones at 508-437-3774. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Joe, and like I'm calling from the Bronx.
What's up, Joe? Go ahead, pal.
I wanted to ask how Keith Rivers is playing in practice.
Keith's doing pretty good in practice right now. As again, 15 days, everybody's trying to make plays every time they come up. I mean, it's hard to find guys who are just super standout. Rivers made some great plays, interception.
Great pick today.
Awesome, flying around to the ball, has a little bit of that Armstead thing in him. But again, that's the first day I've seen him in pads, and that's the first day they've been in pads.
Now, Howard will be with us tomorrow, by the way, so he'll have 2 days of practice, and tomorrow we're going to get in more into the, you know, guys off the radar a little bit. Some of the guys that I wanted to give Howard 2 days to take a look at before we really got a chance to talk
you
to
know,
him on the air.
We took the time today to check out the skill position guys because it's easier to see what they're doing right off the bat. And it's the best day to kind of watch them because this is when they're the freshest and they'll be running around with the contact. Tomorrow is going to be the best day to watch the offensive linemen because they've had a day to get sore, a day to get their hits, their little bruises. Now we're going to see what they're going to be like because this is what it's going to be like in a game week-to-week schedule. Okay, I played. How can I come back and bounce back from that?
Back to our calls at 518-437-3774. Caller, what's your name? Where you called from?
Hello. Yes, this is Jeremy in Denver.
What's up, Jeremy? Go ahead.
I wanted to see how the offensive line's been looking and just really what we're going to do to kind of get back to that ground and pound New York Giants football.
Well, right now, today, the defense had their way with them. The defensive line looked explosive. They were all with the ball. And, you know, that's kind of great for the Giants because they're excited. But the offensive line is going to have to find a way to, you know, again, I keep saying this over and over. I hate to sound like a broken record. 15 days of practice. You have to take advantage of every time you step out on the field and get everything right. If you miss one thing one day and they got to go back and coach that, the next opportunity you have to go live, you're going to miss out on something. You got to continuously advance. Right now, they look great. Ground and pound, not so much. I don't see the ground and pound. We got some explosive backs. We got some guys that can cut, can turn, and get the ball upfield. And they run between the tackles. I saw, you know, Mr. Wilson today. He hit the hole. He was gone. It was awesome. Right between the tackles, one step, one cut, out of there. Guys would turn around in chase position.
I want to build on this.
You want to see.
I want to build on this for a second. In training camp, when you really can't go out there and really beat up the guy across from you,
okay,
how as an offensive line can you work on getting better at running the football? It's got to be a tough thing to do in practice, right?
See, it's different because what happens is you're thinking about more about tackling and hitting. When you're across from a guy, you're working on your drills. You're right in front of each other. It's hand placement,
so
it's foot movement.
And things
you
like got
to get you got to get to the guy and block him. If you're letting the guy get through you, and a D lineman is beating you every time, he's beating you. I heard today someone say from the offense, a player flew through the line and fell down, and they were like, "Hey, stay up, guy! Watch out! Don't hit our guy!" I'm like, "Dude, block him. You block him. He's not hitting your guy.
They need to have a cross out there.
You got a drill. Here's your drill." block him and there's no hits. You don't have to worry about staying up if you're blocking him.
Back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Chris, calling from Wilmington, Delaware.
Paul, go ahead, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
I just heard what you said about the ground and pound game. I just wanted to comment and see what you think. Bradshaw, we know how he is year to year. He might miss a game or two. But don't you think A.J. Weir and the new guy, Wilson, don't you think they'd make a good tandem coming in and really improving the running game?
You know what? You got Darrell Scott, you got Wilson, you got Brown, and you got Weir. You got a lot of guys there that can actually come in and make that spot. See, I'm going to go back to it again. The 15 days of practice.
How many days of practice?
The 15 days of practice is what's going to really be the big, big difference. What's going to happen here is you look good in shorts. You look good in shorts and helmet. You look great in pajamas. But when you have to pick up a blitz and your $100 million quarterback is standing in the backfield, that's when it's important. And that's when these guys are going to separate themselves. It's great right now, but when they send that first blitz, and we saw it today a couple times in practice, guys coming through, they weren't screaming right away because it's the first day right away. You're studying, you understand, but you really don't know until that blitzer comes.
Back to our busy phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Sebastian from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn guy. I like it. Go ahead, Sebastian.
All right. My question is, do you think because Will Hill has been impressing so much in camp recently and that there's a chance that Deion Grant doesn't even get re-signed since there's not much camp left?
You know, Deion Grant keeps himself in great shape, keeps himself ready, and he's always ready to go. And if there's a need for him, because right now they're down a DB, you know, Terrell Thomas is going to be out for a while, and if he's out, you got to move the safety down to play slot right there. Then you got to move Prince up. It's a lot of moving parts. So you got to have a veteran guy sometimes coming in. Hill's doing a good job. They like him a lot. But again, when the rubber hits the road,
he's got to be trusted.
You got to know, because a mistake in the secondary is a touchdown. Like a mistake in the offense is a sack. A mistake, you know, is a tackle for a loss. A mistake in the secondary is a touchdown. Not kind of a touchdown, not almost a touchdown. It is gone.
There you go. 518-437-3774. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Joel from Brooklyn.
Joel, go ahead.
I just want to know what the status is of Mark Herzlich. How's he doing in practice? And what are his chances to make the starting linebacker crew?
Starting linebacker is going to be very interesting. He's going to have a lot of competition right there. They do like him right now. Chase Blackburn is doing a good job out there. But Herzlich's young. He's got a lot of energy. You know, you got to remember where he was before, you know, before he got sick. He was going to be a top five pick probably in the draft.
Or at least the first round.
He was going to be big. He was that good. Now he's getting back to some of that. He's starting to gain some of his weight back. He's getting some of his speed back. The thing that you know that he doesn't have to get back is his knowledge of the game. The kid is a football junkie, a gym rat, if you want to call him that. And that's what's going to keep him in that, you know, constantly challenging to be that guy. And he's got something that a lot of people don't have, young legs and good speed.
All right, Howard, I want to go to Twitter now. Of course, you can send in your Twitter questions to hashtag GiantsChat. This one comes in to Matt DeSantis, 44. Is Prince Amukamara now the number two cornerback with Terrell Thomas's injury? I'm going to build on that, too. I want to make this two-part question
okay.
for you. Who's going to play that slot spot? Is Anchor Roll going to be there again, or are they going to try to use one of these younger corners in that position?
Well, there's a lot of guys out there. I mean, I'd have to go down the list here to tell you some of the guys I saw today, but there were some guys out there who were making plays on the field at cornerback. There were some guys out there that were moving around. There were so many different players going around trying to make position. You're trying to keep up with them.
Justin Tryon made one great play.
Tryon made like two or three plays. Mm-hmm. I saw him on the jam earlier also. He did a good job. Tryon could be a guy that could actually slide down into that position. Prince has got to do a very good job. He's like I said, I hate to say these words again, the 15 days of practice. He's got to get the most out of the 15 days more than anybody in the secondary.
He needs it.
He's got to figure out a way, if there's a way to get two reps or a rep and a half, he's got to figure out how to do it. He's got to get himself in position. The guy is extremely talented. The guy's he's pretty fast. But it's going to be more about him getting himself in position to get a shield a guy, know where he is on the field, know where his help's coming from, and make sure that you're not asking a question when the play's being snapped. You got to know what to do. 15 days is not a lot of time. You have a lot of days of classroom time. That classroom, he's got to burn it up all the time.
Back to our calls at 518-437-3774. Also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, yep. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air with Howard and John.
Yep, this is Kevin in Phoenix.
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, so I was just wondering, you know, with the Giants' schedule being pretty brutal, how do you think that impacts their overall record and their chances of making the playoffs, considering, you know, the NFC North potentially could have three teams in that this year?
You know, I would have said that the Giants look, it's very bleak for them this year because of the schedule and how tough everything is looking for them, especially going down the stretch. But you got to take a step back and look at what happened last year. They had the same type of schedule last year where it was going to be so dominant, and when it came down to the wire, they beat enough teams to get themselves into the playoffs. And once they got into the playoffs, they won a Super Bowl. You don't know year to year what's going to happen. A great example is if you look down at Pittsburgh, their star receiver in and out of camp. Is he going to be
Mike
there?
Loss.
Is he not going to be there? Quarterback Big Ben's down there. Just let him know he got a rotator cuff. If Ben's not playing, they're not winning.
No, that's
this
true.
Is out. You know, you got the Baltimore team supposed to be super great. Don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know how good they're going to be. I don't know if that quarterback, if Flacco deserves a big contract. I don't know.
And, you know, the caller said he assumes that three teams are coming out of the NFC North. I mean, the NFC South's got some good teams, too. And quite frankly, the NFC East is going to beat each other up here. I think you can have a lot of 9-win teams making into the playoffs in the NFC. There's so much balance here.
It's going to be interesting to see if Green Bay can actually put a defense on the field this year. And so, same with it's going to be interesting if New Orleans can put a defense on the field this year. It's going to be interesting to see if Detroit can get some maturity and start to make plays consistently through the season instead of just, you know, out there being, you know, stomping people's heads or whatever you want to say. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the mesh between Cutler and his receiving core is. You know, he's got his old time, his best friend coming back to him as a receiver. Big time Marshall. He's big guy. Oh, this guy's great. What are the other guys going to think?
New offensive coordinator, too.
Yeah, but you know, new offensive coordinator, but he's going to throw the ball.
All right, back to Twitter. This question comes into hashtag Giants Chat, by the way. This one comes in from Vincent D. Vinoge. Which one of the Giants rookies do you see improving most as the season goes along, Howard? I know you like David Wilson today, but how about some of the other guys?
Ooh, the most? I think the tight end, maybe.
Adrian Robinson.
I think the tight end has a chance to improve the most as the season goes along. I think as the season goes along, the position of tight end is a place where you can actually grow and get better at it. I think you can start to get better, be a better blocker as the season goes along. I think they'll put you in situations to give you more opportunities to be a better blocker. I don't see, you know, some of the other guys getting as many opportunities as the tight end will. I think Rob's going to get more opportunities, and he's going to be put in a situation where he has to do a few more things. He's got great stride. He can shake down the field. It's going to be interesting if he can catch the ball and make those plays.
Back to the phones at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Pete from Chatham.
Pete, what's up, pal?
Hey, great show, guys.
Thank you.
I just have a question. You're probably going to ask this a lot, but I'm just really curious. With Brendan Cross leaving, I mean, Brendan Jacobs leaving, what do you think? Do you think the team can make up for that loss?
Ooh, Brendan Jacobs leaving. I like Brandon. I love Brandon. I think Brandon's a great guy, but Brandon's also a front runner. You know,
what do you mean by that?
He likes to, he needed to be the starting back. He wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be the guy who was going to take the ball the first play of the game. He was a front runner. He needed things to be rolling for him to be rolling. There are a lot of guys like that in the league. They will beat you down if they got you. If they know you're down, they'll jump on you and they'll pile on. They'll just continue to do it. He needed a little bit more of that in his game, whether it was the defense doing it or an offensive play doing it. He needed a little bit more of that in the game. And they're needing right now what the Giants are going to get. They're going to get guys who are going to jump out and do it from the very first play to the last play. Jacobs, great back, great power, devastating runner, but he's a little bit of a front runner, and that was the only problem that he had.
A little open-ended question, Howard, as we're about to wrap up here. One player that stood out to you during practice today where you were like, wow, that was pretty good.
I'm going to give it to Mr. Wilson. I was really impressed with him. I thought it was incredible to see him cut the ball, get to the outside, bounce it up. I heard the coaches even say once, you know, hey, it's about time you try to take it up when you get it out there. It's going to be interesting to see when he learns, again, this is the first day of pads, when he learns to put that foot in the ground and go north and south. That's what I want to see. It was impressive to see his cuts, how fast he was, how explosive he was, but it's going to be very interesting to see how that communicates into a game situation.
Howard, excellent job today. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
And Howard's on Twitter at HowardCross87. He'll be back with us tomorrow afternoon on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. You'll have the second day of watching practice. A lot of good information coming your way. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Great job by the callers. Great job on Twitter. We'll see you tomorrow.